Genesis chapter 6, and reading at verse 13. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. We're all familiar with this record in the book of Genesis. Perhaps from a very early age, you and I have known about Noah and the ark. We heard about it and learned about it from our earliest years. And it is indeed a very remarkable course of events that take place in this narrative. And what ultimately happens is brought about by the great wickedness of man upon the earth. We read in verse 6 here that the wickedness of man was so great that God has purposed to begin a new humanity through the flood. Now that's interesting because just as the old world, or the creation at the very beginning, as we looked at in recent weeks, emerged out of the waters at the beginning of time. So after this flood, there is the beginning of a new world and a new humanity. And I want to look with you very, very briefly and simply here this Sabbath morning at two particular things. First of all, there is a universal judgment. A universal judgment. We looked previously at verses 5 to 8 of this chapter, and we saw that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is stated for us here in verse 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it's put like that, as if to say that out of the generality of the rest of men who were living in wickedness, there was one who wasn't, and his name was Noah. Noah found grace or favour with God. Now, the way it's written, it comes to us as if Noah found God, found the grace of God. But in actual fact, the finding here means that he met with the favor of God. Noah, in other words, found grace because God found Noah. It didn't begin with Noah, it began with God. And in verse 9 of this chapter, I think it is, we read that Noah was a just man. He was a righteous man and perfect or upright. And also, as it goes on, we are told that he walked with God. Now let's take that expression for a minute. Walking with God. You think of yourself walking together with someone else. You're in conversation with them. Inevitably. Noah was in communication with God. That's what it means. That he was in conversation with God. He listened to what God had to say. And he also called upon God in prayer himself. That's what walking with God means. And as well as listening to what God had to say, he believed what God said. And what God said to him was by way of warning him, because of the great wickedness in this world, He tells Noah that he is going to destroy the world with a flood. Or as it is here in verse 13, the end of all flesh has come before me. The world is in such a mess. Such a state of disarray. It's certainly not the world that God created. But it's the world that sinful man had spoiled and is still spoiling. The whole world, it is given over to great wickedness and great evil. Look at verse 6 again and look at the emphasis that is laid and the stress that is laid on the wickedness. When he says, verse 5, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and every imagination of his heart was only evil continually. Look at the words that are used there by God himself to evidence to us the great wickedness, not only in society, but over the whole world. So God is going to destroy the world with a flood, because the world no longer has any place for God in it. Apart from this man Noah, he's walking with God. The rest of this wicked generation are walking away from God. But Noah is listening to God. And Noah is listening to what God has to say. And God tells him to do something. And We have that in verse 14 here. Noah, make thee an ark. Make thee an ark. Now, if you try to picture the situation here, whilst Noah is building this ark, that God has commanded him to do. Think of how he would be treated by his own peers as they ask him, "What on earth are you doing, Noah? What are you making there, Noah? Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your senses? Are you beside yourself? Are you going mad?" Which of course would give him the opportunity to tell them all about what God has told him to do. To build this ark, because God is going to flood the whole world. It's giving him opportunity, in other words, to preach the gospel and to tell them of God's coming judgment. And that, my friend, is right at the center of the gospel. The gospel is always a warning to us of coming judgment. If you look at the four gospels and read them through, you'll notice how it is repeated over and over again. The warning of coming judgment. He gives a stern warning to each one of us. And just to mention one particular place where he gives us that warning, is in the Sermon on the Mount. A much loved sermon of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself is the one who proclaims the message. And he tells us in chapter 7 of Matthew, in that sermon, that they who build a house or build their lives upon a sandy foundation, that they will be swept away in the torrent of God's flood coming upon them. But that they who build their lives upon a rock shall indeed be safe. Shall indeed be safe. And that is exactly what Noah is preaching here too. That when the torrents and the rains come down from heaven and the waters start increasing up beyond your ankles, beyond your knees, and up to your waist and further, unless you betake yourself to Noah's Ark, you too will be swept away. Swept away. That's his warning to his own generation. But nobody listens. Nobody listens. Nobody wants to know it. But they've been warned. There's nobody who hasn't been warned. hear the message they will. Hear the message they certainly will. And hear it they must. Nobody will avoid hearing it one way or another. Everybody knows, whether they want to hear it or not, that there is a God whose holy habitation is heaven, and that they are all accountable to him, to his dear Son, unto whom all judgment will be committed, when he will come in all his glory and with all his holy angels to judge the world. It's the same purpose of judgment as what we have here in Genesis chapter 6. Do you not see the similarity with the flood here in Genesis chapter 6, with the flood of God's judgment at the end of this world? Do you not see that similarity yourself? The end of the old world here is being destroyed by a flood, and the end of this world in which we live today, there will come another judgment upon it that will bring it to an end. And that judgment comes from God. However rampant sin may be, and rampant it is as it parades itself unashamedly and more openly in our society, God will not allow it to parade itself forever in any of our lives. The day will inevitably come, and is coming, when he will bring you and I into judgment. Now, let's look at how this day influenced Noah. What God told him, that there was a flood of judgment coming. It was on the horizon. And to prepare an ark, well, he was influenced by that to do exactly what God told him to do. And that's brought out for us clearly in the very last verse of this chapter. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So did he. How does this approaching judgment influence you today? Does it influence you, and does it influence me the way it influenced Noah? Well, it should, my friend. Because God speaks the truth to us and warns us in order that we might be making preparation for that coming judgment. There's no use turning a blind eye to what God says. No use whatsoever. There's no use pretending that God hasn't said it. No use whatsoever. You and I are being warned to make this same preparation, that we might be safe when that judgment comes. And come it most certainly will. That's our first point here today, very briefly. But secondly, and simply, I want to look at the way of deliverance here now. When you and I walk with God, and when we are in communion with God, God tells us things. He makes known things to his people. He made known to Noah, who walked with God, things that the rest of his generation weren't aware of. Things that they didn't believe would ever happen. But Noah, because he was in communion with God and was in prayer before God, he was told things by God. And he's told here in verse 14 to make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now we're given very specific measurements of this ark that Noah is commanded to build. And you'll notice the measurements of the ark are in cubits. That's an old measurement today, but seemingly a cubit was a foot and a half, 18 inches. So Noah is being told to make the length of the ark in verse 15, 300 cubits, the breadth of it, 50 cubits, and the height of it, 30 cubits. That's what God has commanded Noah to do. Now let's put that into modern day measurements. Let's look first of all at the length of this ark. We're told here that the length of the ark is 300 cubits. In today's measurements, that's about 450 feet. The breadth of the ark, we are told, is 50 cubits. And that works out at about 75 feet. And the height of the ark is 30 cubits. And that works out about 45 feet. These are the measurements of God's provision for Noah's safety and for his family when this flood comes. Now maybe off the top of your head you cannot think how long is 450 feet. Well, think of a football pitch. An average football pitch is 300 feet long. Those of you who are interested in football may know that. 300 feet long. So this ark is 450 feet long. This structure is massive, massive, massively long and massively wide. And we're told here it's got three decks, a door, and also some small windows for light and for ventilation. Plenty room for everyone if they wanted to go into it. There was plenty room. More than enough room for everyone. But only Noah and his family took themselves to this provision of safety. There would be plenty of room for the insects and all the creeping things on the ark. Plenty of room even for the largest animals. Remember, God controls the door of this ark. So God is working in his providence, bringing the smaller animals rather than the larger ones of the same species, the younger ones and the smaller ones, to preserve each and every kind of species. Plenty room for all the food that they would need in the ark, for being on it for over a whole year. Sufficient space for them all. And these are God's measurements for the ark. Now, maybe you've seen in some children's storybooks a picture of the ark. And you'll see a nicely shaped boat and everything finished off very well. But that's not what this floating structure was like at all. We're to think of the ark as something like a large floating box. That's all it was. It didn't even have a rudder on it. Noah didn't have to steer it. God was steering it. God was controlling it. It wasn't a ferry boat with hundreds of people on it. Neither was it a speedboat. Nothing like it. It was just built to float. Built to float. And to save the lives of those who were on it. And that's how Noah, his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, with their wives, were saved. Now, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You'll always find their names in that order in Scripture. But the eldest is actually Japheth. And the youngest is actually Ham. So why does Shem come first? Because he, along with Noah, is the chosen seed through whom, after the flood, the people of God will continue and increase just as they did at the beginning of creation itself. So in order of age, Japheth comes first. Then Shem, and then Ham. That's just by way of instruction. Now, this is where the deliverance of the Lord is seen. Because we read in verse 18 here that God made a covenant with Noah. And this is the first time that the word covenant is being used in the Scriptures. And it's a covenant of grace. It's a covenant of grace. God didn't need to save Noah. Neither did he need to save anybody else. But he did. Remember, Noah didn't so much find favor, but met with favor. And that's true with regards to the gospel. Salvation, or deliverance from sin,
is all of grace.
And you see that in the making of this huge floating boat. Plenty room for everyone. As Paul says in the New Testament, many years later, where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. And the size of this ship emphasizes the saving grace of God towards the lost. Now, he provided the ark for Noah. And he's provided the Lord Jesus Christ for us. In him, and in him alone, my friend, there is safety. It's God's provision in his grace that Noah was saved. And in his grace he provides a saviour for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. But as well as the provision made in God's grace, and by grace alone, there is also this. Noah needed to believe what God said to him. He needed to believe it, and he did believe it. Remember how the writer to the Hebrews puts it very well, as you would expect from the Word of God. He puts it like this: being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he was moved with fear. Now, things not seen are believed by some people. They were believed by Noah. Noah believed what God had said to him long before it happened, 120 years before it happened. Noah believed it, although he didn't see it. And that's what you and I have to do too. There is a coming judgment. We don't know when. Neither did Noah. But it is certainly coming. We cannot see it coming. It will come unexpectedly and suddenly. But God tells us that we must be ready for it. The one who brings the judgment is the one who also makes the provision that you and I might be safe from that judgment. He believed God's word. He didn't slight it. He didn't treat it as cheap. He treated it as the truth. Because he had such a high view of God that what God said would certainly take place. When God tells Noah that the ark will save him, the ark will save him. Whatever Noah thought of the ark, however unsuitable he might have thought it to be, God tells him, if you take yourself to this ark, you will certainly be saved. And he trusts in the one who promised to save him through that means. And he places all his confidence in that means, or in that provision that God made for him. And he was saved. And the gospel comes to us today in that same
we, promising that we will be saved if we but trust ourselves to the provision he has made for us in and through the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In what he has done and in what he has suffered, there is refuge alone for us in him. When the time of God's flood of judgment comes down upon this world, which is not unlike, incidentally, the world that Noah lived in. When that flood of judgment comes down, where will you be? Will you be swept away? Or will you be safe in Jesus Christ? There was only the one provision for Noah, and it came from God. He couldn't save himself at this time. He could only save himself by trusting himself in and to the Lord. And there is only the one provision for you and for me today too. The Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less, and certainly nothing other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The provision that God has made for us in order that we might escape. Little wonder the Apostle Paul refers to this salvation when he says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Little wonder when he went to Corinth and when he introduced himself to the people in Corinth, he said, "I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I determined, I'm fully determined not to know anything else but him." And if you believe in him today, you too will be safe. You will be safe. Make him your own by faith. Make him your own by faith. It may not have looked the part, the ark, but every measurement was given by God. Christ never looked at the part when he was in this world. His own people, the Jews, thought he was coming to release them from Roman bondage and give them freedom, and that they would be free under him as an earthly ruler. They mistook him altogether. He didn't look the part of a savior. But by faith, there were those, and there are still those, who believe in him for their salvation. Will you not today, I plead with you, will you not consider seriously the matter before yourself? With each passing day, that judgment is coming closer. As it was appointed here for the flood to come, it is appointed for another flood of judgment to come. Are you ready for it? I want you to be. I don't want to see you crying. And I don't want to see you outside of Christ, as Noah saw so many outside the ark, scratching on the sides, pleading with him to open the door that he couldn't. I don't want to see you like that. None of you. None of you. I want you all to be in Christ, safe when that time comes. Amen. May he bless his word. Let us pray.